Welcome, everybody. This is Frederick with the course How to Travel the World for Free. This is going to be very exciting, where you're going to learn free and nearly free techniques to travel the world. And with me is my good friend Shelley Stein, who's an expert in free or nearly free travel. Shelley, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Frederick. Nice to talk to you.
Now, I would like to start with a little putting things in perspective for people. So I think I wanted to ask you, before we even get started into the techniques that I'm sure everybody really want to know, but can you tell us one of the recent trips you took using the system and how much this trip cost you?
Sure. I would say my most recent trip was a recent trip to Hong Kong, and then I went on to Bali as well. I used only miles and points for not only the airfare, but my hotel stay as well. So I used Cathay Pacific. And for the listeners, they may know that Cathay Pacific, along with Singapore Airlines, is considered probably one of the two best airlines. And I also flew in business class, and that was really a tremendous experience. If you ever get the chance to fly Cathay Pacific in business class,
How was it? What is the experience with Cathay Pacific versus other airlines for business class?
You're talking about the lie flat seat. So, for instance, I had to fly from Los Angeles to Hong Kong, and I do believe that's the second longest flight on an airplane nonstop. So it was from Los Angeles to Hong Kong, and that was 15 hours on an airplane. So it's hard sometimes to even conceive of what 15 hours on an airplane can feel like. And so we're talking about the service, the food, the amenities, the seat. When you travel in business class, particularly on Cathay Pacific, you get a seat that goes flat, so you can sleep anytime you want to sleep. And, of course, on a 15-hour flight, that's really a wonderful thing to do. You're also in a cabin that's much, much smaller, so there were maybe 10 people in my cabin, as opposed to flying in economy, which would have been hundreds and hundreds of people. You're also, because you fly in business class, you're also gaining entry to the lounges, so that if you have layovers at the airports, you have access to the lounges, which is something I know we're going to talk about a lot more. So the whole experience, you get priority boarding, you get a totally different class of food and amenities. So it was to Hong Kong. That was one part of it, and then along to Bali as well. So the whole entire trip was paid for on points. I had to pay a few hundred dollars for taxes and fees. And then while in Hong Kong, I stayed at a W property. And again, that's related to SPG points. So I used all points for 9 days in Hong Kong in a W hotel. That's one of the hotels in a Sheraton category of hotels. So I had an incredible room. I was upgraded to the 27th floor with an incredible view of the Hong Kong Harbor. And it was my first time in both Hong Kong and Bali. I really, really loved it. And you get check-in amenities, and I got what they might call a junior suite. So I had a very, very nice large room with lounging area and all the amenities that come with the W Hotel. The W Hotel, if I had to pay cash, I would guess, would be between $300 and $400 a night. So, again, all of that, did not pay a penny for that. That was all through points that I used for the hotel.
So that's kind of the idea. I mean, we'll go. I wanted you to start with this story because, you know, I'm excited about this topic, and I'm sure our listeners want to know how they can get a similar experience. Or as we'll talk about in the course, each experience will be different for depending on your needs. But before we get started in the actual system, what I just wanted to say something is that I've known Shelley for a long time. We first met when I was, she called me a puppy, when I was about 20, 22 in San Diego where she used to live. And we kind of were out of touch for many, many years, and we got back in touch maybe 4 years ago. So we've spent a lot of time. Fitness is Shelley's primary occupation. She's a fitness trainer, but she has so much knowledge about so many other things. And this is the thing that gets me excited, is traveling the world for free, because I've been a traveler for many years. So I want you to know, Shelley, that I'm really excited about this information, and I want our listeners to know that this is the best, most distilled information you're going to get on the topic anywhere. So I think we should get started with the actual basic concepts, because we're going to go into several step-by-step techniques that you can use. But first, you need to understand the basic concepts. So what is the basic concept, Shelley, for traveling for free or nearly free?
That's a great question, Frederick. And I would say the basic concept is that we're going to be earning points and miles for things that we already do. So there's a lot of spending that we already do that we're not using wisely in terms of the accrual of points and miles. So we're going to rearrange how we spend and learn how to spend in a way that gets us miles and points. Does that make sense?
Yes, it totally makes sense. And what are miles and points for people who, I mean, I'm sure everybody knows about them, but what is the basic concept behind miles and points? Why are they available? And, you know, what are some examples?
Sure. Well, that's a good question, too, because we want to differentiate between what a mile is and what a point is. So the miles come from loyalty to certain airlines. So if you're loyal to United or you're loyal to Air Canada or American Airlines, again, if you live in North America, they, if you use their credit card, you will receive points on that particular airline. So if I have a United credit card and I spend on that credit card, I'm going to get miles for United. Points, on the other hand, are something that are rewarded for hotel stays, let's say, and they come from using different credit cards that are not loyal to a particular airline, but they're bank-related. So American Express, for instance, if you have an American Express card, you accrue points from spending. And those points can be used many different airlines. They can be used many different hotels or rental cars. So those points are not specific to a loyalty program with an airline. One of the reasons for these programs is that obviously the businesses want to keep our loyalty. So for our loyalty in exchange for spending, they're willing to give us points and miles. And, of course, they wouldn't do this if it wasn't profitable for the airlines. So our loyalty to them creates profit for them. And I think that makes sense.
Yes, it totally makes sense. And again, we're going to go into the details, so this is just kind of a brief overview for everybody. What I wanted to do next is, because most of the information comes from Shelley, but I'm going to give my Canadian perspective as well for our Canadian listeners. But I just wanted to start with a little overview of how I got into this and what I was doing before that was wrong and how I changed with Shelley's technique. So I've known about this concept for a while, but I was using it on a very basic level, which was still pretty good. Probably if you did it on the same level that I did it, and you would be pretty happy with the results. And my results were, at the time, I was getting maybe $2,000 worth of free travel every year. But I would use it sporadically. For example, I might book a flight somewhere, and that flight wouldn't cost me anything. And then, you know, 6 months later, I might book another flight. I wasn't really using points to create experiences, which is really what we're going to talk about in this course, how to use this system to create amazing experiences that you could never have afforded before. So I was getting about $2,000 worth of free travel every year, but I wasn't creating amazing experiences, and also I wasn't maximizing my results. So I've applied Shelley's technique techniques for a few months now, and already I'm accumulating so many points that I expect that by the end of this year, I'll have enough points, I'll have enough free travel privileges to take an amazing vacation probably anywhere in the world that would probably cost me over $10,000 if I had to pay for it myself. So that's kind of the level of difference that you can reach with using Shelley's system versus, you know, what you might do on your own if you don't really know what you're doing. Now, Shelley, how did you get into this concept of points and maximizing points for free travel?
Sure. I'll tell you that, Patrick. You know, first I want to say you brought up some very good points because it's I read once this expression, see the world and prices we can all afford. And we think we can't afford to travel, so we don't become aware of, like you said, techniques that we can use to create amazing experiences and to maximize the points. And so, again, it's seeing the world at prices we can all afford. I think that's another one of the underlying concepts. Sometimes I laugh at my story, and sometimes I want to cry at my story about how this happened, because quite a few years ago, I had a trip that I wanted to take, and it was to Italy to attend a wedding of some friends of mine that were going to be married in Italy. And so I looked, and you know, I had affiliations over the years. I've had affiliations with certain airlines, and, but I didn't really know how to use the card to maximize my miles points. But for this trip in Italy, a year ahead, I decided I was going to go, and I was going to do it on points and miles. So I got what I thought was a good credit card for the accrual, and I spent, for an entire year, I spent only on that credit card, all my everything I spent to accrue miles and points so that I could go to Italy. And at the end, I was so proud of myself, I thought I knew what I was doing, and at the end of the year, when I called to get my ticket, I was going to exchange my points and miles for my ticket, I had used the wrong credit card. I did not have nearly enough points when I thought I had more than enough points. And when I was on the phone with the airline trying to book the ticket using these points, I could not believe it, that for a whole year I had made this effort, but in the end my effort was not going to pay off in the way I had hoped. So, you know, looking back on that, at the time I totally wanted to cry. At the time I could not believe it, what happened. And now when I look back on it with time, I can laugh a little more because I ended up having to pay cash for my ticket to Europe after that whole year of thinking I was doing all the right things. So I just decided that was never going to happen again, and that I needed to learn the right techniques. I needed to really immerse myself in understanding how this works and how it can become a game and how it can be fun, become fun. So that's how I got started. I often, you know, from an experience like that, you just decide that's never going to happen again.
That's a great story, and I have to tell you, Shelley, that since I've met you, and I thought I got this concept a little bit, but then I understood that there was an entirely new level that I wasn't even aware of this game. And so we're going to talk about this concept of traveling the world for free with points as a game. So if you're someone who likes to win at games, you're going to love this. And you're going to need a little bit of a competitive edge inside of you to want to do this, because it requires, you know, playing a game. So it's like staying ahead of these points and these promotions and so on that we're going to talk about. So you're going to love this if you have that kind of nature. Otherwise, you'll probably develop it with the system. And also, another thing we need to mention is this system might not work anywhere in the world. So depending on your country of residence, it will be different. So that's why in the sales page for this product, we said this is really a concept that what we're going to show you is for the United States and Canada. We don't know about all the other countries and what their system is there. But if you live in a Western country, essentially, there's probably something like this available, but it's not going to be the exact same cards and points and so on. And the best place in the world to play this game is in the United States. So for Shelley, her advantage is being a U.S. resident. I'm a Canadian resident, so we have kind of not as good of a selection of these privileges and so on, but my advantage is I have a home business. So if you have a business, that's a huge advantage to accumulate points and miles using the system. So what we're going to do is go into a series of baby steps that you can take one at a time to build the system. And it's something that will take you a little while to master. And I'm really amazed when I do it myself at how it's like a different paradigm. And once you really understand how it works, it's hard to look at people who are not doing this and understand why they're not doing this.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, Shelley, you have the same experience all the time, right?
Yes, absolutely. And one of the reasons that we're both excited about doing this project together is because we really want to save other people the time and the frustration of doing this incorrectly. Because, like you said, it's a new paradigm. And once you understand how to do this and what steps to take and in what order to take the steps, it's just a lot of fun. And I don't want anyone to have to go through that year of frustration without getting a great outcome the way I did. So that's why I'm excited about this.
What we're going to do as well in this course is that there's obviously this main audio section that we want you to listen to first, but then there's a series of bonuses that you need to download as well, written bonuses, action steps, and so on, that will help you implement the system. So make sure to listen to the audio first and then read the rest of the material that we have available. And we also have some videos and so on available. But this is the core of the program where we're explaining everything. But you might have to go back to it a couple times to really get it. So, Shelley, are you ready? You want to get started with the first baby step?
Yes, absolutely.
What is our first baby step?
Well, the first baby step is to activate airline accounts so that you make sure you have a frequent flyer number in all the big airlines. So in the States, for instance, our legacy airlines here would be American Airlines, United, and Delta. So you want to make sure you have a frequent flyer number for American Airlines, for Delta, and for United. Again, with the United Continental merger, some people might have older United frequent flyer numbers, so you want to make sure you have an accurate one. Also, British Airways is very important. They have what's called Avios, and even though it's British Airways, Avios, which we'll talk about later, are very good to use within the United States. Hawaiian Airlines, you want to make sure you have a frequent flyer airline for Hawaiian. U.S. Air, and even Southwest. So those would be the seven. So again, it's American, Delta, United, British Airways, Hawaiian, U.S. Air, and Southwest. And not only do you want to have a frequent flyer number, Frederick, but you want to make sure that you have put this online. So in other words, you're going to need to be able to access, let's say, American Airlines online. So you want to go into each one of those, go into American Airlines, so AA.com, for instance. So you want to familiarize yourself with the websites, how to access your account, you want to set up a profile, and spend some time doing this because that's really the first step.
And I just want to add, Shelley, for our Canadian listeners, probably the best program in Canada to have is Aeroplan with Air Canada. So the website
absolutely is
aeroplan.com. And by the way, we'll list all of the websites in the support material as well, so make sure to download that to go through the steps. So for Canada, Aeroplan is really the one you want to focus on, as well as the American companies that Shelley recommended. And another good one for Canada is Air France. If you go to Europe or even the Pacific, it's a good one that has a good royalty program.
Yes, no, that's true. I would suggest that everybody, even in the United States, use Air Canada, and Aeroplan is definitely a program you want to stay on top of. One of the things that I think is a really good way to start is to really set yourself a goal, because it's all about awards that matter to you, and it's all about rewarding yourself. And frankly, you know, who doesn't enjoy rewarding themselves? So I think it's very important to pick a dream vacation. Really start to think about the place you want to go to, because what we're going to be teaching everybody are the shortcuts to that dream vacation, the shortcuts that will save you time and will save you money. You know, frankly, again, who doesn't love traveling and saving money at the same time? I had an interesting experience a couple of nights ago. I was at a party, and what I decided to do was I gave everybody a piece of paper. And I just asked them privately, so it wasn't a group discussion, I just asked them privately on this piece of paper to write down one place they would love to go that they've never been, their dream vacation. And then I just collected the pieces of paper, and we talked about them. And it was very interesting because everybody has one place that's their dream place that they've never been to. For some people, it was Paris. For other people, it was Greece. One person wanted to see the Northern Lights. Somebody else wanted to be able to hike the Great Wall of China. And I was struck by the idea that everybody has a dream vacation. Everybody has one place, at least one, if not more. So even if they don't travel all the time and travel isn't their hobby, it still is very exciting, very fun, I think about a goal, to have a dream in mind. And so once you have a goal, it's a good idea to go back and to look at some of the airlines that go to your place. So let's say your dream is Paris, and you might want to look at Delta, you might want to look at Air France, And you want to have an idea of exactly how many points, exactly how many miles it's going to take you to get to your dream destination from wherever you live. So let's say you're in Los Angeles, how many miles it would take as a reward in business class or first class for you to go to L.A., from L.A. to Paris, or from New York to Paris, from Kansas City, Missouri, from Toronto, wherever it is your home airport. Because I think you get much more motivated, much more excited, easier to stay focused as you go through and you learn all these exciting strategies we're going to be teaching you. Much more fun to have a goal in mind. So maybe it's 100,000 points or 100,000 miles. But at least you know, see, as you see all these points and miles accumulating, it gets very exciting, and it really will help you stay motivated. And the other thing is, do that with hotels, too. So let's say the dream is to go to Paris, and the dream is to stay there for a week. Take a look at some of the hotels. Take a look at some of the SPG properties. Take a look at some of the Hyatts. Take a look at some of the Hiltons, some of the Marriott hotels, and look on their websites and find out how many points staying in one of those hotels will cost for a week. So you really have a very clear idea about the award points it's going to cost to get there, and then how many points it's going to, how many points you're going to need to be able to cover your lodging for that week. And, you know, cut out pictures of Paris, post it on your bullet board, but really have in your mind's eye, really have something that you're heading towards, because I think that will make this a lot more fun and will keep you a lot more motivated.
I love that, Shelley, because, I mean, I think when someone has a clear goal and they write it down, something happens to make this goal become true. And in the way you act, you make different decisions, and you know, I call it the law of attraction, whatever you call it. It exists. And in fact, right now in my office, I have my points. I have my goal, my affirmation, and it's by next July, I will have 160,000 Aeroplan points and 150,000 SPG points. And I just picked that number because I went, like you said, I went on the airlines and I went on the SPG website and I looked at, now, how much is it to have to stay at an expensive hotel? How many points is that? And how many points is it to fly to different destinations? And I know, I mean, with that stash of points, I can go anywhere in the world in first class, and not just, you know, economy class, and then still have leftover points for something else. So that's really motivating to me. I mean, I probably need to pick a destination at this point, but at least I have a number in mind.
Yeah, that's a great way to do it, too, because, you know, the collecting of the points and the miles, it's very exciting, but it can also be overwhelming at times. And I think that in order to get through some of the confusion sometimes and some of the overwhelm, it's really, really helps to have a goal and to have a dream in mind. And I've done that. I'm looking for a trip to South Africa. I want to go see Cape Town. I've never been to Africa. It's one of the continents I haven't been to. And I have a trip to South Africa in mind for next year. And I had to do exactly what you did. I went online. I want to see what points I'm going to need, what points I can use. I started researching hotels. And I feel a lot more motivated because now I know where I'm going. I'm going to South Africa, and I know the reward that I need to get there in business class or first class. And I have plenty of time to work on it. And so I think that's a really fun way to handle this.
And by the way, we should do a video. We're going to have a video in this as part of this to show you how to figure out how many points are needed to go to different destinations. So we'll add that in the video section. Now, what do we do after? What is the second step? Let's say we've activated all of these accounts, but we have no points. What do we do next?
Well, one of the main sources of accruing points and miles is credit cards, using credit cards, and being able to sign up for the bonuses that the credit cards offer you. So I want to touch on this for a minute here. So your most valuable asset in this game is your credit score. And so you want to make sure that you know your credit score. In the States, for instance, you can get free credit reports from all three main bureaus, and once a year, you're entitled to get that without paying for it. And you want to go through your credit report. You want to make sure all the information is accurate. And you want to be able to apply for credit cards so you can use the bonuses that come with them. We're not advising people in any way. We're not into that financial advising. That's not what Frederick and I do, but we do. You are going to want to use your credit score to build up bonuses. So it's very, very important that you keep a good credit score and that you know what's going on in your credit report.
So the second step is to know your credit score and be aware of it. Now, I know there will be someone out there who bought this course who's saying and will be asking us, what if I don't want to use credit cards? And the obvious answer, Shelley, is?
That's fine. Again, you have to do this in a way that works for you. There's lots of other ways to accrue points. Again, the spending, how we do our normal spending, and that's actually going to be the next point, is smart spending on the credit cards that you already have. And, of course, paying for flying. When you pay to fly, you get plenty of miles and plenty of points. When you rent a car, you get miles and points. When you stay at a hotel. So there's many, many ways besides credit card sign-ups to accrue miles and points. Again, you know, to be able to travel the world at prices we can afford.
Now, this brings us to the third step, which is about credit cards and how to use them to accumulate points.
Right. And before we even get to the applying for credit cards, one of the things that I think is really helpful that I think enough people don't do is you really want to know what your normal monthly spending is. So you are applying for the right credit cards and you recognize how many miles and points you're going to accrue from your normal spending. So the first thing would be to just chart your normal spending. How much are you spending on food? How much do you spend on gas? All the normal what I would call consumer spending that we do. And you want to get a sense of how that adds up, because ultimately what you want to do is move that onto credit cards so that you're maximizing the points and miles on credit cards. So if anybody listening doesn't know what their normal monthly spend is, I would suggest sitting down and figuring that out. Does that make sense?
Yes, you need to know where money is going to in different categories for rent, for food. And because there are ways we're going to be teaching you to double points and so on by using the right cards for each category of spending. Now, I know you wanted to clarify that, so this is step number three, part one, or A.
Right.
And the second part, or part B of step number three, is to pay everything with a points and miles credit card. And I know this was one thing that I was not doing before, because I was accumulating points using one business credit card, but everything else before really understanding the system, I was using debit, I was using cash, I was traveling using cash because I didn't want to pay foreign exchange fees. So I didn't really understand that everything you buy has to be as much as possible. I mean, certain stores will not take credit cards, for example, but that's pretty rare. So everything you buy, you use a rewards credit card for it. So let's talk a little bit about this, because we're going to spend some time here. This is very key.
Yes. In order to accrue the miles and points, you have to direct your spending. So you want to target your spending to credit cards. So there are credit cards, for instance, and there are debit cards that don't accrue miles and points. So I know later in the program we're going to get to specific cards that are the best to use for these strategies. But in general, you want to put all of your spending. So, you know, again, we're talking about grocery stores. We're talking about gas stations. We're talking about, and if you pay your rent, you can do that online. Your utility bills. I have a friend who goes to the dry cleaner and pays his dry cleaner with a certain credit card. There are ways to, for instance, I have some people who work for me or who have services that I take from them, and they are not set up to take credit cards. So I will buy them gift cards so that I can use my credit cards. So maybe I'll buy them a Costco gift card, or maybe I'll buy them a Visa gift card. And all you do is say, hey, you know, I'd rather use my credit card. You know, will you take a Visa gift card? Will you take a Costco gift card? And rarely will somebody say no to that. So all the expenses that you have, once you figure out your monthly expenses, we now want to shift to some credit cards that will accrue the miles and points. And again, we're talking about being able to pay off your credit cards 100% every month. If you carry a balance on your credit cards, this step of this game is not for you. The other steps work fine, but if you're somebody who's carrying a balance on your credit cards, you really this is not for you.
I mean, obviously, what we're talking about is not to find new ways to spend so you get points. is to redirect your existing spending in smart ways to accumulate points. So this is very important. Thank you for pointing that out, Shelley. And one thing I might that has been a big shift for me, and I need to say it again, is to never pay cash for anything again, as long as you can avoid it. And the reason is that one way to look at this game is to understand that you're already being charged for this game anyway, even if you don't play it. Because you go to a store, and the store, let's say a grocery store, for example, they have to accept credit cards because it's part of doing business. Now, they have a fee for accepting credit card, which is 2 or 3% or something like that. Now, the credit card companies take some of that money that they get in fees and redirect it into these reward programs. So even if you go to the store and you pay cash or you pay with debit, you're still being charged for other people playing the game and not you. So you might as well get in the game and play it because you're already being charged for it by the companies. So it's just a way of looking at it, and this was key for me once I understood to never use cash as long as I can use a rewards credit card. My thinking has shifted, and now, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous how little cash I carry around these days compared to before.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Let's put it this way. If it wasn't profitable for them to allow us to use credit cards, they would not do it. So it's set up for us to be able to use credit cards, and why not? Because if we're already spending the money, why not get some benefit from it in terms of points and miles? So we're not doing anything that the airlines don't expect us to do. We're not doing anything that the hotels don't expect us to do. These programs are set up so that we use these programs, we accrue the miles and points, and then we come to their hotels and use their airlines. It makes perfect sense when you think of it that way.
There's also another concept that's very important for people to understand is there's all kinds of rewards program and rewards credit cards, including cashback cards, and which was one type of card I used to use. And the funny thing is that a lot of people, they use these cards because they like to have a little benefit. For example, they like to be able to get a few points so they can buy a Starbucks gift card, or they can get some cash back on their credit card, or they can get some free gas. And there's all kinds of rewards program like this available, and they're all fine. I mean, at least you're getting something out of it. But they're not as good as what we're going to focus on in this program, which are credit cards that are going to give you points for points for hotels and miles for airlines. Why? Because this is the only way you can really create an experience, as we talked about earlier. For example, if you want to fly to Europe from the U.S. or Canada on a regular seat, it's going to cost you about 60,000 points. Am I right? Maybe 50,000 in the U.S. Just correct me later, Shelley, if I'm wrong, or how does it might be different in the U.S. Now, if you want to upgrade to a business class seat, in terms of miles, it's only going to cost you 30,000 miles more. Now, imagine that you were to buy that ticket somewhere. You were to just buy the ticket directly and see what the difference is between a regular ticket and a business class ticket. It's going to be a lot more than 30%. So this is one valuable thing you can do with points that you cannot do with money again. And also, as you make these points accumulate, you can do things you would never be able to do otherwise. So one key understanding is get the right credit cards, and we're going to talk about that later, that focus on points and miles, and forget about cash back and, free gas and so on. Would you agree with that, Shelley?
Yes, Frederick. That's true, and that actually is a very good example, and I'm going to give you another one. When we're talking about seeing the world at prices we can all afford and having dream, you know, being able to redeem these miles and points for dream vacations, these are the prices that we would never be able to afford to pay, nor would we. So I just cashed in a large chunk of miles, and I'm going to go to Europe in a couple of months. And I'm going all the way from Hawaii all the way over to Europe. And when I cashed in my miles and points, I looked to see what that ticket would have actually cost me. So it's business class. Hawaii, I've got to go through New York. From New York, I'm going to Europe, and then coming all the way back through to Hawaii. And the ticket that I paid through my miles and points would have been a $7,000 ticket because it's business class all the way and I'm going such a huge distance. I would not likely pay $7,000 for a ticket like that. So it really is about having an experience that I would not otherwise have.
Funny is also when you see people that are using credit cards for a lot of purchases, but they're using a credit card that has no benefits, which is really crazy. And I even know someone who puts $100,000 a year in business expenses on a credit card that has no rewards. So that's a big mistake.
I almost can't even hear that. Let me say one other thing too, because sometimes you have to get over a little bit of embarrassment with this game. So, for instance, you think, okay, let's use Starbucks. So I'm going to go into Starbucks and I'm going to buy a cup of coffee. And I think, I don't know what, maybe Starbucks cup of coffee in the States, let's say $1.99. So let's say $2. And you think, oh, it's just $2. So you give them $2 cash. So you might think, oh, I'd be embarrassed to pull out a credit card for a $2 purchase. But once you get into the habit of pulling out the credit card for all your purchases, it becomes really easy. And those $2 purchases add up. Over the course of a year, all those little purchases add up. So even for the smallest purchase, I always pull out a miles and points earning credit card.
One thing that another benefit of using a credit card for all of these purchases is, first of all, you don't carry cash, so you don't have the possibility of losing the cash and misplacing the cash and so on. So every expense can be accounted for. And one thing that I use is software available in the U.S. and Canada called Mint.com, which pulls out, downloads all of that those transactions from your credit card statements automatically and organizes it into budgets and expense reports and so on. So you have a clear picture of where your money goes. So that's even that is a benefit in itself, because you're never wondering at the end of the month, how much did I spend on food? If you use credit cards and if you use Mint, then you know how much you spent on food, because you can tell it's all being, all the information is there. There's no wondering where the money is going.
Right. Absolutely.
Now, this is kind of a mindset, and like you said, you mentioned paying $2 for, paying $2 with a credit card instead of in cash or in debit. But so once you start thinking about this mindset all the time, keeping this mindset of paying everything with a rewards credit card, like Shelley, you mentioned before, that if you owe money to somebody, you'd rather buy them a Costco gift card or an Amazon gift card or something like that, because through that purchase you can earn points. So everything we pay for, we can redirect that spending into miles and points through these rewards credit cards. Also, it means choosing the right grocery store or maybe a gas station to buy our groceries and gas, because, again, certain stores will have better rewards programs. If you go to Costco, you can use an Amex card, which has a better rewards program, or if you go to certain gas stations, they have also another, like in Canada, we have a gas station, Esso, that works through Aeroplan, so you can accumulate miles that way. And so there's all kinds of ways in which we can use to maximize our mile accumulation, but we'll get into that later. So this was step number three. Is there anything else you want to say about step number three, Shelley?
No, I think we can move on to really how you apply for the credit cards and which banks, if that's okay, Frederick, and which banks to use for the credit cards that are affiliated that work best with this program.
Okay. So step number four is to take advantage of these credit card offers for points, and that's going to be a big way in which we're going to accumulate points. We're going to accumulate points through spending, but also through these offers that they give us, the companies give us, just for getting a card or a rewards program, participating in a rewards program with them. So how do we go about that, and what are some of the steps to do in that?
Sure. So we'll leave the spending aside for a minute and talk about how many cards and which cards to apply for. And again, this is very dependent dependent on a good credit score as well as being able to meet your spending in full each month. In the States, the four big banks, so again, we're talking about not airline-affiliated credit cards, but banks that have credit cards. So there's, or companies that are affiliated with banks, I guess is a better way to put it. In the United States, we have American Express, and we have Chase, and we have Citicard, and there's Barclays. It also depends on which state you live in and how your credit score gets pulled, but that's something we can add that people can download in a PDF to give them more information about that because it gets a little more complicated. But in the States, your credit score is pulled with each individual state, so there's a little bit of consideration there. But those are the four banks that offer, that currently offer credit cards with the best bonuses for signing up with their credit cards and meeting their spends.
In Canada, Shelley, the best banks would be CIBC, Amex would be the main ones that we're going to talk about for focus. So similar, Amex is going to be probably in every country. Amex is probably going to be one of the best companies to use. And then we have CIBC. TD has a decent program, but it doesn't give you points for airlines. It has its own system of points that is essentially translated into cash that you can use towards travel expenses. And that is okay, but it's not as good as airline miles and other hotel points.
That's good to know. You want to get – so once you look at these four banks, and people may have – people who are listening may already have a Citi card or an American Express card or a Chase. So maybe some of this you're already doing, but you can do it on a larger scale and you can do it more directed. So even if you have a Citi card or you have a Chase card, you may not have the ones that we're talking about. Does that make sense? Because there's so many American Express cards, so many Chase cards, so many Citi cards. So, and then what you want to do, again, particularly in the States, is you want to get on an application cycle because the banks really don't want you applying for their credit cards once a month, let's say. They will only extend you so much credit, and they will only extend it to you so often. And as a general rule of thumb, you can have an application cycle every 90 days or so. So let's say today I applied for a particular credit card, and it was an American Express card. I wouldn't want to apply for another American Express card for a 90-day cycle. So in a given year, you can cycle through two or three times if you wanted to. You can cycle through more. You can cycle through less. One of the things, Frederick, that is so wonderful about this whole topic and accruing miles and points is it can absolutely be customized to you. However this works for you is perfect. Just because I do something or Frederick does something or somebody else does something, it doesn't mean that's what you need to do. There's so much possibility here that we can all customize it to ways that work for us. So that's also a very, very important point. So you want to set up an application cycle, and within that application cycle, you can apply for one card per bank, so not multiple cards per bank. So you wouldn't want to apply for two American Express and two Chase and two Citi cards. And you can apply for as many cards as you want in any cycle, but again, you really have to watch those minimum spends because you want the minimum spend to match what you're normally spending every month anyway.
What is the minimum spend for people who don't know, Shelley?
So the minimum spend is different for every credit card. So you might apply for an American Express card, and they might say, okay, to get, let's say, 50,000 points, they're going to ask you to spend $3,000 over the course of 3 months. So that's how a minimum spend is usually expressed. So it would say Chase, a particular Chase credit card, and it might say you'll get the points for the very first spend and no spend other than that is necessary. So all the banks, as well as all the credit cards that the banks offer, have different requirements for minimum spend. Does that make sense?
I had an idea here because
– sure.
We're probably, this program is going to be available for a while, but the types of cards and offers are going to change. So in the
yes.
PDF material of this course, you will find the most recent offers, when this course is released, and then it might change later. But I think maybe more relevant way to look at it would be to, if we could each describe one current card offer for people who are brand new to this. They maybe never own a card like this. Just to give an idea of what it means. So I'll start, and you can give one. I'll start with one for Canada, and you can, Shelley, you can give one for the U.S. So just people who've never really used these cards understand. For example, in Canada, there is a currently an offer for. I'll give you two cards. One is CIBC, and one is Amex. So Amex has a gold card that has a great program, gives you 15,000 points, and the first year is free. And you have a spend of $500 in 3 months. So that's what Shelley was talking about. That means in order to get that bonus of 15,000 points, you need to spend at least $500 in 3 months. If you're not able to spend $500 in 3 months, then that's not going to be good for you. So that's one example. And the CIBC card also gives you 15,000 points. And, you know, sometimes in Canada we have offers that give you 25,000 points or some cards up to 50,000 points, but those are pretty rare. In the U.S. you have much better offers. So why don't you just give us one, which of course by the time people listen to this, this offer might not be valid, but just so people get an idea of what we're talking about here with the minimum spend and so on.
Sure. Currently, American Express has a credit card that I love. It's the SPG, which stands for Starwood Preferred Guest. And just the other day, they released a new offer. So there's no annual fee for the first year. For the first time you spend on the card, you get 10,000 points. And then for $5,000 spent over 5 months, you get another 20,000 points. So that would be, after the 5 months, a total accrual of 30,000 SPG points. And SPG, we're going to talk about the SPG card later, but it's one of my favorites. It's one of the first ones I recommend for somebody who doesn't have one. So that would be a typical offer that they just released, and they don't usually say how long it stays around. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
Now, I have a few questions about this step, Shelley, because what we're doing is we're taking advantage of some offers, right? Credit cards, but we don't want to own too many credit cards, but we're still allowed over a certain period of time to go through these cycles you talked about where we have one bank, for example, Amex, and another bank like Chase. So we want to apply for one credit card per bank, but not more than one credit card per bank. Although over time, you might have more than one credit card per bank. For example, I personally have three different American Express cards. One is a business, one is a gold, and one is one that I will be canceling, but it's currently active. It's an Aeroplan card. So I'm canceling one to get another one. So far, they've been giving me all of these cards with all of these different bonuses. And so on. But I only started with one, and I waited, and I got another one, and so on. And I have other credit cards as well. So does that make sense?
Yes, that's exactly how it happened. So over the course of time, I also have three American Express cards, and I've been an American Express card holder for many, many years. So I have the SPG card that I just mentioned, and I have that for personal and business. And I also have the American Express Gold, personal, and then I have the American Express Platinum, which I use for other benefits, which we're going to cover later. So within each bank, you might have multiple cards, either that are active or that you've canceled. Absolutely.
I actually beat you, Shelley, because I also have the SPG card in the U.S., so I counted that separately. So I have four American Express cards.
that's also true for Chase and for Barclays and for Citi, so you might have multiple cards for each of the banks.
Now, someone might be asking, you know, why should you have so many cards? Isn't that going to affect my credit badly? Is that going to be a problem? And what's the answer to that?
Thanks for bringing that up, Frederick. That's a great question. And in fact, it you might take a little bit of a hit on your credit score when you apply for credit cards, maybe 5 to 10 points, but overall your credit score is not ruined or even damaged. And in fact, over time it increases because again, let me reiterate, this is about paying off your balances in full each month. So obviously, if you have trouble paying these cards, that's going to decrease your credit score. But assuming you pay off the balances each month, what happens is the longer you have credit cards, so the more seasoned you are with a particular company, the better your credit gets. When you pay off your balances in full, your credit gets better. So over time, when you have, and this is a myth. So it's one of those myths that we need to debunk. People are afraid of applying for too many credit cards, but over time, it actually increases your credit score, or certainly keeps it the same. I have never had a problem with any credit card applications, and pay my bills in full every month, and have never had my credit score go down in any significant way. And it's also relative to how much credit they extend you and how much of the credit you use. So over time, when you start to get involved in this game, you'll learn what the credit companies are looking for and how to keep a stellar credit history. And again, that's very important.
And this has been my experience, Shelley, too. I was afraid to apply for more credit cards, but it hasn't affected my score negatively. In fact, it's improved my score over time, and I suspect it will improve it even more over time. But I have a huge number of credit cards compared to, I don't know, what's the average number of credit cards that, do you know that, Shelley, the average person in the U.S. has?
Wow, you know, I actually have no idea. I would imagine it depends on how old they are and how long they've – so my, like, you know, for instance, my credit history with American Express goes back to 1985. So everybody starts somewhere. That's a great number. I mean, that would be great to know. I'm not sure even where I'd find that out. I'll start to ask people, though, because now you've got me curious.
But we're not talking about having dozens and dozens of credit cards,
no.
But just – so it's just about being smart with all of these offers. I mean, initially you might feel like grabbing all of the bonuses that all of these credit card companies are offering, but it's like Shelley said, go through a cycle and just be smart about it. Now, Shelley, what would be a good way to summarize step number four?
Step number four, a couple of things to remember is there's different banks that issue different credit cards. So there's American Express, Chase, we have Citi, Barclays, and you want to start with an application cycle, which will generally run every 90 days or more, and you want to, if you can, support the minimum spend, apply for a card from each one of the major banks.
What is step number five, Shelley?
Well, you know, people might be wondering how you're going to organize all this information, and it's called awardwallet.com. So, again, we'll have the link to that in the program, but you're going to have multiple credit cards, and you're going to be spending, and you want somebody to keep track of all your miles and all your points, and this includes hotels and car rental points you're going to get. And Award Wallet is the best system I have found, and I know I use it, I know you use it, and it's a free service that tracks your balance, and it tracks your status, and you have a username, and you'll get a password, and so it will track nearly every airline and hotel credit cards, all your loyalty programs. The only two that it currently doesn't track is American Airlines and Southwest. But other than those two, which you'll have to track separately, I really recommend Award Wallet. And I know, you know, it takes a bit of time to set it up. I know the guys, and their customer service is really great. If you have a problem, you email them, they get right back to you. And you also can track your upcoming travel plans, and it keeps everything in one place. And there's a certain tab for travel plans. And so I love Award Wallet because at the end of every week, every Friday generally, I get an email from them, and it tells me where I've increased my points and increased my miles, and it reminds me of any travel plans I have. So how's your experience with Award Wallet been, Frederick?
Oh, great. I mean, it's kind of – we talked about Mint for tracking expenses. So it's kind of Mint but for reward programs. And it's great because in one place – you see all of the big, obviously the big reward programs that you're using, but also the little ones. Like, I love to know, like, you know, I have like 4,000 points with Air France, and it's just there, sitting there, and it tells me what's going to happen if I don't use those points. Maybe in some companies they expire after a certain date, so it's good to keep track of everything. And then maybe in the future I'm going to travel with Air France again, and then, okay, so I'm going to add that add more points there. So I have a clear picture of everything. Now, while I know you wanted to also have a step number 5A, because at this point we sign up for all of the major airlines, but we also need to sign up for something else, right?
Yes, we want to sign up for all the car rental frequent flyer programs. So, whatever car rentals is, Hertz and Avis, Dollar, I mean, there's so many of them. A lot of business travelers use Emerald Club, which is, I believe, belongs to National Rent-A-Car. I'm sure there's some in Canada that you would recommend. And, of course, all the hotel chains. So there's Sheraton, and there's Intercontinental. There's many different hotel chains. Hyatt, rather, of course, everybody loves, and there's Marriott. So I would say the three big hotel chains are Sheraton, Hyatt, and Marriott. And again, signing up for their awards programs. So the more you stay, the better you get treated. You move up towards elite status. All the car rental programs as well as the hotel rental programs have silver and bronze, gold levels. So within each program, the more loyal you are, again, they're just rewarding us for our loyalty, the more benefits you get. And all of that can be tracked on AwardWallet.
Now, I have to tell you, Shelley, that you're telling everybody to sign up for all of the different airlines and hotels, and I have to say that I have not done that. But what I have done is I have signed up for all the ones that I'm planning to use or that I'm using, so I might not have some of the hotel chains, but what I'm going to do is if I ever plan on staying at one of those hotels or if the deal comes up, then I'm going to immediately sign up for their program. Is that a good way to do it as well?
Sure, absolutely. And I'm sure we have a lot of people who travel not only for pleasure but on business. And oftentimes your employers allow you to choose where you stay. And so if you prefer a certain chain and you show them loyalty, benefits accrue very, very quickly. Not only do you get miles, do you get points, but benefits accrue. And so, again, just the way we're targeting our spending to put it on certain credit cards, you can also target your hotel stays. So you may be just on the verge of getting to the next level. You might be just on the verge of going from silver to gold, and all of a sudden the trip comes up, and you think, wow, if I have one more stay at Hyatt, I can get Hyatt Elite, and that means I'll get free Wi-Fi and free breakfast and all those other things. So over time, I do believe people develop a loyalty for hotels as well.
Well, that's the idea behind why this works is as you end up being loyal to certain hotels and airlines, and that's how they're making money. What would be step number 6? Because what might come up is that we apply for some credit cards, but what if the applications are rejected, and this is step number 6.
Sure. There's always a time when not necessarily an application is going to get rejected, but, we'll do most of our applying for credit cards online, and you'll get a message back, and it says, we can't approve you right away. We need, 2 days to 10 days, and we'll get back to you. And you take that as a rejection, but sometimes they just need some more information. And so every credit card processor has what's called a reconsideration process, and they all have reconsideration phone numbers, and we'll post those in a PDF so people can get each credit card and the reconsideration phone numbers. And being able to call the credit card companies and being able to enter into a dialogue with them when you don't get approval immediately is a very important skill to have. Like I said, most often they want to verify some things, so there are some things on your application they didn't quite understand. Sometimes they are going to reject you, and you want to be able to have a conversation with them to give them the information they need. So there's many, what I might call a little bit of an advanced skill to have when you talk to credit card companies, but never take not getting an immediate approval online as a total rejection, because what you need to know is that every company has a reconsideration line, and you can call and often get approval. And I recommend that you do that within 24 to 48 hours after you put out the application, so you can get an immediate response and you can know what's going to happen.
That's a great idea. I didn't even know that. And I think I'm going to do that for a new card that I ordered recently, and the same thing happened. It didn't approve me immediately, but they said it's going to take so many days and so on, and I get the feeling I should be calling them. So that's a very good idea. Great. So, Shelley, what is step number 7?
Step number 7 is to check all your credit cards for the benefits that come with them. So each credit card, the ones you currently have and potentially the new ones you might be getting, all come with a set of benefits. And, you know, we get the credit cards and we get excited and we start spending and using the credit cards to access miles and points. But it's very important to know the benefits. There's really a lot of hidden benefits that come with each card. So, for instance, the most popular ones are, right now a lot of cards are coming with free check bags. And with all the airlines charging us for free, you know, to check our bags these days, it's really nice to know which cards you have that allow for free check bags. Another benefit is priority boarding. Some of the cards come with the opportunity for you to board, pre-board, before economy and some of the other classes. So it's good to know which cards offer you priority boarding. Another benefit is that some of the cards come with discounted companion tickets. So if you want to purchase a companion ticket, you'll get a discount on that price. Some of the cards come with discounted airline food. If you have to buy food when you're on the planes, you'll get a discount if you use certain cards. There's a couple of cards that come with cheaper awards. So, for instance, American Airlines and US Air run specials sometimes that if you're going to use your miles and your points to get an award ticket, you'll get a less expensive award ticket. So let's say an award ticket costs 20,000 miles. Sometimes American or US Air, if you use their credit cards affiliated with their airlines, instead of paying 20,000 miles for an award ticket, maybe you'll have to spend 17 or 18. So you want to know which airlines and which cards will allow you to redeem your miles and your points for award cards for less miles and points.
Do you think it's good, Shelley, to put together a little summary for yourself? You know, because a lot of these cards have benefits that are very similar, like most cards have you know, some kind of insurance when you rent a car and so on. So what tends to matter is kind of lost in all this mass of details when you look at all the benefits. So what I've done myself is I've put together a little list of the different benefits because you tend to forget. Like, for example, I had this SPG card, and I didn't even realize I had been upgraded to SPG Gold just for using the card after a certain time. So I didn't even know until I realized that. So it's good, you know, do you think it makes sense to put together a little sort of mind map of everything?
Yes, absolutely. Keeping track of your cards, the benefits, the days you receive them, and we're going to talk more about them as we go on. Yes, absolutely keep track of this kind of stuff. One of my favorite of all the benefits is lounge access. So there are certain cards that allow you to enter the lounges, and they come in very, very handy if you get to the airport early, if you have a layover at the airport. You can often bring friends into the lounges with you or family members, people you're traveling with. So lounge access is a really good benefit to be aware of. And you just mentioned one, Frederick, that's one of my favorites, but I want to make a little distinction here, and that's rental car insurance. So as you mentioned, a lot of the cars come with rental car insurance, but there's primary rental car insurance and there's secondary. And what most cars come with is secondary insurance when you rent a car. So that would mean that your insurance that you carry when you're home and that you're not on your regular car, that's not your rental car, would kick in before your rental car insurance kicks in. There are a few cards that you can get. I enjoy using those when you rent a car that give you primary rental car insurance. So just another one of those things to be aware of, that there's a difference between primary and secondary, and some cards come with the primary rental car insurance, and those are very good to have. And those are the key benefits. There are others, but again, it's about encouraging you to take a look at your cards, read the fine print, and then, as Frederick said, keep track of these things so you'll know that when you're taking a trip which card to bring along and which card is going to give you which benefit.
Sounds good. this leads us into the next category, the next step, which is to figure out ways to increase our points. So what is step number 8?
Well, it's understanding categories and how you spend on certain categories. So the three biggest categories would be gas, restaurants, and travel. And the reason categories...
And groceries, right?
Groceries as well, of course. And how you... The reason that category bonusing has become such a popular topic is because it's becoming more and more popular. So, you know, the credit card companies have to compete. So people often ask, why do they give us bonus miles? Why are they offering me 50,000 miles? And why all of a sudden, when Citi offers a big bonus, do I see American Express offer that bonus? And then Chase offers that bonus. And it's because they're all in competition. All the credit card companies, all the banks, their businesses, they're in competition. So once they're all competing on the number of points they're willing to give us, the next level of competition is they're going to give us bonuses for certain categories. So again, we have gas, restaurants, travel, and groceries, and those seem to be the big areas of bonuses. So one of the things that I like to do when I'm out shopping is I carry a little note in my wallet, and I'm old-fashioned, so I have this note, and it's in my wallet, and it helps me to remember which credit card to pull out for which category of spending. So, for instance, if I'm at a gas station, which credit card will I pull out? If I'm in a restaurant, which credit card will I pull out? If I'm grocery shopping, because what I want to do is I want to maximize category bonuses for my miles and points.
So people that might be total beginners, let me explain it, what you just said, if it's okay, Shelley, about these bonuses. So we have certain cards, and I'll give a Canadian example because we have less of these things. But for example, the Amex card, the Amex Gold card in Canada is pretty similar to the one in the States. So if you use it for gas, groceries, or travel, any type of travel, it could be airline purchases or it could be hotels, they give you double points for all of these things. So that means that instead of getting 1 point per dollar spent, you get 2 points. The CIBC Aeroplan cards gives you 50% more points on gas and groceries and pharmacy spendings. So maybe that's another one, pharmacy, that's at least in Canada, some of the cards have that. So is that a good summary that certain cards, depending where you spend the money, they just give you double or triple points?
Yes, absolutely. So here in the States, currently, Chase has a Sapphire card, and that's an excellent card in terms of the rewards for using at a restaurant or using at a hotel. And it's also a great card for when you travel internationally because there's no transaction fee. So that's the card I would pull out if I were traveling overseas. The Gold card, as you mentioned, here in the States, is a great card for airfare. You'll get twice as many points if you use it when you pay for airfare. Gas, groceries, we also get bonus points on, and also travel. So things like if you pay tolls when you travel in your car, if you pay for a taxi, those kind of travel expenses, American Express Gold is great for. So that's what we mean by targeted spending and just reminding yourself which card to pull out depending on the type of spending you can do.
Now, and you have to read the small print for some of these cards. For example, if you go to Costco, a lot of people go to Costco. Costco is not considered a grocery store. It's considered a wholesaler. So they only take Amex as a credit card. So it's a great place to spend your money because you get reward points with credit cards, but it's not going to be double points because it's not considered a grocery store. Am I right, Shelley?
Yes, that's correct. But again, when you talk about Costco, it's a great place to use American Express cards, and you and I have both had the experience time and time again where we go into Costco, and the majority of people who shop at Costco are pulling out cash.
So they're not even taking advantage of this.
Yeah, so we're talking about hundreds of dollars a month that they're not targeting to any particular credit card, and so they're letting the miles and points slip through the fingers.
Another popular way of spending, at least in Canada, is debit cards. So most people in Canada use a system called Interact, which is just a debit card that's not associated with a credit card number, and it's used almost every store has that option for paying. And it's great for the merchants because they have lower fees, but for you, the consumer, it's not as good because you don't get any points at all, and you don't get any rewards. So a lot of people are using Interact in Canada and debit cards in the States, and again, they're not getting any points out of that.
Right. No, I see that a lot overseas too, where people use debit cards.
Oh, just a quick thing. I know in the support material, we'll give you a list of the best cards to get started. But I think it would be great at this point, just if you and I gave a few cards we think for the U.S. and Canada that would be good to start with and to use also to optimize points with the category bonuses we just talked about.
Sure. You want me to go first?
Yes.
Okay, back to the Amex SPG card. I think in general, people who are either experienced with the miles and points game or getting experienced really, really like the American SPG, and again, SPG stands for Starwood Preferred Guest. And a couple of the reasons for that is they have the highest value of points. So your points have a certain kind of value in terms of what you're going to be able, what kind of experience you're going to be able to buy from them. And as a general rule, SPG points are considered some of the highest. And again, I used SPG points when I was in Hong Kong for my hotel, and definitely got an incredible value from that. The SPG card doesn't have an annual fee the first year, and I believe currently it's $65 a year after that. So that's very good value as far as card fees. The points from SPG can be converted to airline miles, and they currently have at least 30 different airlines that you can use your SPG points to add to your airline miles. And when you do that, so let's say you're going to transfer 20,000 SPG points to an airline, you get a 5,000-point bonus. So instead of transferring your 25, it's going to turn out that they're going to give you 5. So you're going to get 25,000. And that's actually, if you think of the numbers, that's a 20% bonus. The hotel redemptions with SPG are great, so they're hooked into all the Sheratons. And that's, you get a lot of very exciting experiences overseas. And also, when you have points in different accounts for your family members, as long as your family members live at the same address, all those points can be combined. So that's also a really good feature. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 really good features for the SPG card. So I always look to the SPG card as the first recommendation for people.
I would say for Canada, I would say the American Express Gold card is probably the best one at the moment because it has double points for all the travel, grocery, gas expenses, and probably drugstore. I have to check for that. You see, I would use also your wallet system because I forgot about about that one. So that's a very good one. Again, the first year is free, but then it's a little pricey. It's $150 a year. But if you have a good amount of spending, then it's worth it. The CIBC Aeroplan card is also very good. And then some of the TD cards are good because you have no annual fee with certain accounts, but the points that you get are have a cash value. So now I understand it's not as good, but it's still pretty decent if you have a low level of spending and you just want to accumulate some free money traveling. What is step number 9, Shelley?
What's exciting about the collecting of miles and points is that they're often very transferable. So, and there's different kinds of points. So the credit card companies, their loyalty programs are usually run through the banks. So we've been discussing American Express and Chase and SPG, for instance. And they can – you're not loyal to any particular airline. So those points and miles can be transferred to several different airlines or several different hotels. So, for instance, American Express, the Gold card, for instance, you just accrue – general points, and you can allocate those points and use them in lots of different airlines. You can use them with Delta. You can use them with British Air. They have a connection with STG points as well. Chase, for instance. So those are called American Express MR points, which are membership reward points. Chase has what they call ultimate reward points. And those can be given to United Airlines. You can do British Airways, Southwest Airlines. So you can use your points that you're accruing and use them for multiple airlines. SPG, you can use with Hawaiian Airlines, Alaska Airlines, American Airlines, British Airlines, Delta. So you can again, I mentioned over 30 airlines. And that's very exciting because we've earned them and we can do whatever we want with them. And I really like that. So I see a lot of people who have, let's for instance say, a United Airlines credit card. And the only credit card they ever pull out for anything is United Airlines. And they're getting a lot of United Airlines points, but only United Airlines points. So they're not really being given the choice or the freedom to do what they want with their spending. They're spending, and it's great that they're putting it on a United card, but their options are really, really limited. And what's wonderful about this points and miles game is you want to really keep your options open and be able to maximize them.
Now, I know you mentioned, Shelley, an interesting technique that I wanted to you to bring up again, which is, let's say people live in a marriage or a couple relationship. You mentioned that to me that a great idea is if one person accumulates one type of points and another person accumulates another type of points, for example, hotels and airline points. Can you talk about that for a second?
Sure, because, you know, when we travel, what we're really looking to buy is the travel experience and the lodging experience. We don't really think so much about the eating or the sightseeing, but the two big categories that are going to, you know, when somebody says, I can't afford to travel, generally what they're saying is, I can't afford the airline ticket and I can't afford the hotel expense. And so that's the beauty of paying attention to miles and points, because once the airline expense is taken care of and once the lodging expense is taken care of, there's really no place you can't go. So one of the things that couples often do is one person will focus their spending on the airline points, and another person will focus their spending on a card, like let's say a Hilton American Express or some of the other cards that are affiliated with a hotel chain. SPG is a good example. So maybe the husband will put his spending on an American Express Gold so they can use it for many airlines, and then maybe the wife will use her credit card and get hotel spending. And so that really is just a huge amount of options, and it's a really fun and smart way to do it.
I think you mentioned about focusing, and I think this is a very key point in this system, is focus. For example, I try to focus on accumulating Aeroplan points in Canada for airlines because that's the airline I want to use to travel, and they have the best reward system in Canada, so that's the one I want to use. But also through my business, I'm accumulating a lot of SPG points through a U.S. SPG card that I managed to get, and it's even if you're a Canadian citizen, you can actually get an American Express card anywhere in the world through a special transfer program, and I'll talk about that separately in the bonus section of this program. So that way I can accumulate separately hotel points and Aeroplan miles, but also with the Amex cards, then, like you talked about, you get these general points that you can transfer, and in Canada you can transfer them 1 point per point to Aeroplan. So that means I'm focusing essentially on the hotels and the Aeroplan's points. So is that a good way to summarize it? And what would be a practical step for step number 9?
Sure, that's a great way to focus on it. And I have to say that when the whole family is involved in this game, it's even more fun. So when you can separate out the travel and the hotel and one person is going for hotel miles, that's the way to do it, because then the whole travel experience is paid for with points and miles. And also it really helps too, because when I just booked the trip over to Europe and I wanted to use points and I needed to go on United, and so I didn't quite have enough points in my United account, and I go online and I go into my Chase Ultimate Reward Points. I transfer some Chase points into my United account. It takes seconds. Then I have all the miles in my United account, and I'm good to go, and I book the ticket. So it's the transferable aspect of these and the options that really become very empowering and just really allow you to do anything you want to do with it.
All right, so we're now on to step number 10, which is the last baby step in the program. We're also going to have another section of advanced techniques that you can use, but these are the basic techniques. So what is step number 10, Shelley?
As we sign up for all the frequent flyer programs and the hotel loyalty programs, car rental programs, you're going to start receiving generally emails, although there's plenty that comes in the mail, with lots of promotions. All the companies, the airlines, they're always running promotions. And you'll get extra points from the promotions. You'll get opportunities to double your miles. And so particularly if you have loyalty to one or two airlines or one or two hotels, you really want to stay on top of promotions. All the airlines have them. So they're going to run sales on certain fares. They're going to run discounts in terms of miles. So US Air, for instance, does this quite often where they'll pick out certain destinations and perhaps instead of selling those destinations for 35,000 points, they'll sell them for 20,000 points. Or a hotel might have a certain weekend where instead of a room being 6,000 points, it's going to be 2,500 points. So the promotions and what we might call sales that come your way, all kinds of spending really enable you to not only maximize the way you spend your points, but accrue tons more miles of points.
Can you give us some practical examples of how that works? Where would people find, or would they just get the email, or maybe there's a way to stay on top of these promotions?
Well, I mean, in general, you're going to get lots of emails about these promotions. If, for instance, you were planning a trip, let's say to Hawaii, and you already had your airfare lined up and you could use miles and points for your airfare, but you weren't really partial to staying in any particular hotel, you would want to maybe go on the hotel websites and see if they were running any specials. You might want to go, to all the auto rental car places and see if they were running any promotions. So sometimes they come to you, and sometimes you need to go to seek them. But more often than not, they'll come to you in the form of emails.
In Aeroplan, for our Canadian listeners, the way it works is, well, they send you emails with all these promotions, but there seems to be so many of those promotions that I noticed that I'm not getting an email about everything. So I go on their website regularly, and then I just look in the promotion section and I see the different promotions that they have. And for example, recently they had a promotion where if you stayed at a Best Western hotel, they would give you 2,000 points per stay. So I just happened to need a hotel stay traveling, so I chose Best Western and I got the 2,000 points. And so sometimes I'll have, if you shop at this drugstore for this week of the month, then you'll get 8 times the points. And there's all these different promotions, mostly for travel, but sometimes for things you purchase, like if sometimes ways you can get points for free. For example, they had recently, if you link your Costco account to your Aeroplan points card, you get, I think it was 500 points. You know, it's not a huge number of points, but it's all of these little things add up, especially when they don't cost anything or when they're about things you're going to do anyway.
Sure. That's, again, it goes back to the whole underlying theme of this was things we're going to do anyway, either use a promotion that you hear about or wait for a promotion. So one of the things I did was I was going to join Netflix, and I was maybe I'll join and maybe I won't and maybe I'll join. And not too long ago, I got a promotion, and I saw that there was a promotion. And if you join Netflix and you stayed for a month, you got, I think it was 500 or 750 points, and it was for American Airlines. So I said, okay, this is a good time to sign up for Netflix. So once you become aware of the fact that it's raining points and miles, I mean literally points and miles flying out of the sky in our direction, if you're thinking about making a purchase, wait, you might find a promotion comes your way, or like you said, go onto a website and see if they're linked up with Fidelity, if you use Fidelity as an investor, or TD Ameritrade, if you use TD Ameritrade, there's always links that businesses have with promotions, often for hotels or for airlines or for cars. So I had forgotten about the Netflix one. You just reminded me about that.
This is just bringing up something that I'm learning a lot out of this course myself. And when I told you earlier that, oh, I'm not signing up for all of these companies because I'm not using them, I'm realizing just now that I should probably sign up for all of the airline companies and hotels and so on just to get the promotions, because they might be running a promotion if you, like you said, if you sign up for Netflix or something, you get, and maybe I'm thinking of signing up, and then I'll get some points, and I'll just start accumulating points in that airline. Is that a good way to look at it?
Yeah, you know, in the beginning, it may seem like you get a lot of emails, right? Because all of a sudden you're signing up and all these emails come through. But as you become more experienced at this, you can cruise through the emails in seconds and know if the promotion is right for you or not, or if you want to think about it for a few days. And U.S. Airlines, for instance, is famous, and that's a great carrier for the States, and they're famous for their promotions. And in the fall, usually in September, they have what's called a Grand Slam program. And it's this whole program where for a month they link to all these different promotions, and with all these promotions you get certain points. And that's a fun time of year for people that are into U.S. air miles. So, yeah, absolutely. I know at the beginning it seems like you're going to have to take in a lot of emails, but definitely, like you said, I like to set aside the time each week. So I'm not doing it every single day, but I'll set aside an hour over the weekend, and I'll go on to all the websites that I want to check out, and I'll see if United is running a promotion or if Sheraton Hotel is running a promotion. So I think more often than not, if you set aside a chunk of time and you do your checking, it doesn't become overwhelming.
And also, I think it's kind of a game. So, you know, people like to play games, and people like to spend time, and I kind of laugh when people spend so much time on Facebook and Twitter, and it doesn't bring them anything in return except gossiping about other people's lives, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it's so much more interesting. If you're going to have a game, you might as well have a game that pays you in return. So I really like this game of points because of the dream vacations you can build through that. And that leads me to the conclusion. I know you had prepared a little conclusion about this part, and I think it's a very important conclusion to understand how this works. So share us how you see things with this game of points.
Yeah, I think the one thing I want people to remember and to walk away with this is that it's very important for you to use all this information and not only have fun with this game, because I guarantee it's going to be fun. That I totally guarantee. But to really use it in a way that works for you. So, you know, because I wanted to go to Hong Kong and Bali in business class, that was fun for me, and that was something on my bucket list. If you've got a family and you've got kids and you want to take the whole family to Hawaii or you want to take the whole family to Disneyland, that's wonderful too. There's no travel dream. I mean, every travel dream is right if it's your travel dream. And this game, this whole everything we're talking about here, really should be customized for you and for your family and for what's going to work for you and what's meaningful to you. And really, when you think about it, what's meaningful is different to everybody. So a place that I might dream about going might not have any interest to anybody else. So I really, really want people to understand that all of this can be used to create dream experiences for you to share with your family and to share with your friends. Whatever you want to plan, wherever you want to go, however style, whether you want to stay in a 5-star hotel or a 3-star hotel, it's all right because it's how you want to lay out your plan and how you want to travel. And maybe you want to take one trip a year. Maybe you want to take 3 trips a year. It really is all good because it's all about you using how you spend your money to accrue great experiences for yourself and for your family. So for me, that's what I want people to understand.
It's about creating a dream and working towards it, towards the dream with this game of points. Because, like you said, the dream might not be the same for everybody, or might not be realistic for everybody. If someone has $500 a month in total expenses, you know, they're not going to accumulate points as fast as someone who has $5,000 or more in expenses, and they can all put it on a credit card. So, but what we guarantee is that if you use the system, you will at some point have a dream vacation. Maybe it's going to be 6 months from now. Maybe it's going to be a year from now. Maybe it's going to be 3 years from now. But everybody can have a dream vacation for free or nearly free using the system.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, lots of times people will, you know, people who know I travel and they'll say, I wish I could do that. I wish I could do that. And then one day they turn that I wish and they'll ask me, how do you do that? You know, and so when you start to turn your I wish to how do I do that, that's when this becomes a lot of fun, and that's when you really start to use all this information. And again, you know, it's the opportunity to see the world at prices we never thought we could afford. And that's a great feeling, and it's a great goal and a great accomplishment.
What's your next goal, Shelley?
Well, I've got my trip planned to Europe in the fall, and then I'm thinking right now about what I want to do over the Christmas New Year holiday. So I'm starting to look at my miles and then plan something for that. And I usually plan one trip ahead. So I just finished working on my Europe trip, and I'm going to be going to Europe and to Greece and see some friends in Canada on the way back. And then, so that's a few months from now, and then I'll look for something for the holidays.
That sounds good. And my dream is I want to travel to Europe in business class, Europe or Asia in business class, and stay in a 4-star hotel and have an awesome time for free or nearly free. So that's what I'm working for. And I'm telling you, I'm not that far from reaching it. So thanks to you and your system. So this is the end of the first part of the program. There's a lot more for advanced techniques, but would you say this everybody should at least go through these steps before moving forward?
Yes, absolutely. These are the first steps. You know, you're building something for the future here, and so you want to take your time and you want to go through these first steps, because once this foundation is done, it's done, and you don't have to do it anymore. And then you can really start layering in a lot of fun and a lot of other things that we're going to go through. So, yes, this is absolutely the basic of building your structure for great vacations, dream vacations, and for accruing all the miles and points you want.
Thank you, Shelley.
You're welcome, Frederick.